I am so incredibly grateful for this community and this church, and it is my pleasure to be standing up here today talking with you all. Now, I love love. I love watching cheesy little rom-coms, and I get excited every year for Valentine's Day, and I love giving my friends little gifts and compliments to show how much I care about them. Now, love is as old as time, and the Bible is one of the most prime examples of love throughout the ages. In our reading from 1 John chapter 4, the word love, loved, or loves is used a total of 28 times. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of love packed into not a lot of verses. The scripture dives deep into the way that godly love is seen and is defined on earth to us Christians. The definition we have for love is God. God is love, and all of us are children of God, and living a life of love can allow us to serve as brilliant examples of his greater will. Christ and God serve as the ultimate example of love and grace, and we are called as Christians to live our lives modeled after them. The Apostle John makes it a point to elaborate upon love in its abstract nature, specifically how God is love, how when we love others, we love like God, and how we can love others as defined by the characteristics of caring. Now, God overall is a loving God. He cares for his creation, like when he guided the Israelites through the desert, rose Lazarus from the dead, gave Sarah a child, and so many other countless instances throughout Earth's existence. His grace can be seen through the never-ending, abounding love that was radiated in the ultimate sacrifice that he made, Jesus. God sent his Son to die for the world and heal God's people from their sins and guilt. His love is tangibly seen in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus connects humanity to God. Jesus was both fully God and fully human. He's like a bridge in a way. He experienced every human emotion from joy to grief, yet was also directly connected with the Father. Jesus came to earth to show love, even though he knew he would die in order to blot out our sins. But with this sacrifice, there were no restrictions, no parameters. Jesus' death and resurrection is unconditional. There's no tax, no interest, no fee for God's grace. It's completely free of charge to everyone on earth. The grace of God is also never-ending. There's no termination date. God's truth never stops being true. As one of my greatest friends once said, if God's grace was a coffee maker, there would be no maximum fill line. Now, although we should be very grateful for God's free gift of grace, John also tells us we need to be conscious and not abuse this gift from above. We need to know that love and how to apply it. We get our definition from above, from God, and as practicing Christians, we are the prime example of what God is and what he is doing on earth. To paraphrase verse 12, we are visible testaments of an invisible, yet working God's good work on earth. God's grace liberates us from the bounds of guilt and shame and sin. However, that does not mean we should take this grace for granted. Going around, acting like a fool, living a sinful life, just because we are forgiven is not in the plan. God's love is meant to catch you and move you back to becoming a better person. It's not meant to send you back into your old habits of sin. Another wise friend once told me that God's love is a safety net, not a trampoline. We are not meant to continue to pull the forgiveness card repeatedly in a constant, conscious pattern of sin. We should be mindful of our sin, however. Because it is inevitable and we are human, we make mistakes. We cannot avoid this aspect of the human experience. However, we are responsible for making sure things don't get out of hand and uncontrollable. The Apostle John denotes that as examples of God, we are responsible and compelled to live a full life of love, loving one another and loving God in a symbiotic relationship. Now you may be asking yourself, how can I love like God in an often unloving world? Well, I don't have a cheesy metaphor for this one. However, our reading today directly describes the characteristics of Christian love. John says that love is not fearful, rather love cancels out fear. Fear involves consequences, fear involves anxiety and expectations. But love is not concerned with any of these things. Christian love meets you where you are. No judgment, no consequences, no strings attached. Love makes someone have no fear. With God's love, we fear nothing. We are able to trust in the greater plan. Now, because I know that God loves me and cares for me, that when I become fearful about my future post-high school, post-college plans, I can remind myself that God loves me perpetually, no matter what I can do about it. With his love, I fulfill his greater purpose, or fulfill my greater purpose on earth. I need only to trust. Perfect love shines bright to fill the void of fear. John's words also tell us to love others as God has loved us. You know, love your neighbor, don't be mean, forgive, but it's so much deeper than that. If you are not loving your neighbor, whom you get to see face to face every day and interact with often, then how are you loving a God that's working from above? Not loving people who are hard to love makes it harder for us to be examples of that Christian love. God wants us to break away from the parameters of the world and be the example of that unwavering, unconditional love that God has set forth, regardless of our inhibitions and preconceived notions. Now, ancient languages have many different words for this kind of relational love, but my personal favorite is agape. Agape in Greek means total love that is selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional. It's also the word that was used as love in today's passage from the original translation. Now, I felt this love throughout my life in many different ways. At Happening, a youth renewal weekend out at Camp Lee, I've been blessed to experience and work many teams where the love of God and the love of a community is exemplified through dedication and prayer. Seeing so many youth come together and worship and serve one another is truly inspiring. That agape love shines so brightly at Happening at every event I've attended at camp. The youth group here at Our Savior has also shown me great love every Wednesday. It is truly a blessing to get to have a space where I can be 100% myself and be accepted by those around me. I've loved being a part of this amazing program ever since I was a little girl, and I am forever grateful for the leadership at this church and the congregation that has watched me grow up into the woman I am today. The love and agape that this church has shown me has provided me with so much motivation and so much support throughout my years, and I hope to impart the same loving impact here, even as I leave for the swamp in the next few months. Love blooms in Christian communities. It looks so different to everyone. Each person has a different image of a loving community. What is that group for you? Finding a strong faith-based community that supports you can help fill your cup and help you fill others. The characteristics of love brought forth by the scripture passage I speak upon today are emphasized in the love of the church as a people. Not just the physical people, or not just the physical building, but the people, all of you guys. Take the love you learn about in the Bible and at church and be the examples of love to those around you. God's love has no bounds, remember that. Everyone benefits from his grace, and as Christians, it is imperative that we love one another as Jesus and God have loved us. So today, I pray that you will feel the love of God and take action to love both those you like and those maybe you don't like as much. So give your best friend that little box of chocolates, write your boyfriend that heartfelt card, but don't forget to love those you don't shy with just as much. Be the light to those around you, and the world will become a better place. Amen.
Amen.